about that life, George.
It's gonna happen. Because everyone's like, I called my friend who's a manager over in, like, Jersey City, and I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm like, hey, hold an Xbox One for me. He goes, dude, we're getting, like, two extra. He goes, you should check out this store. He's like, I saw their inventory. They're going to have a ton left over. I'm like, those motherfuckers told me they weren't going to have any. I was like, oh, they don't like you. I was like, well, I'm going to march in there.
They don't like you? Wait, you actually have a GameStop that doesn't like you?
I'm sure there's plenty of retail stores that don't like me, but...
Why wouldn't they like you? What have you done? What,
nothing.
Who are you?
You know, I'm that guy because I worked at a GameStop, so I know that, like, you know, pre-ordering is bullshit.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So you go in there and you're one of those customers.
Well, especially when it's a store that's like such a huge location, it's like you're gonna tell me you won't have a copy of Call of Duty Ghosts on launch day? Yeah. Fuck you. Like you will.
God, you guys are the worst. When I worked in retail, the customers that would come in and act like they know all the policies. I'm like, yo, slow your roll right now.
I would always get into big arguments when I was like, I want a new copy. He goes, oh no, but this is a new copy, but you know, it's out of the shrink wrap. I'm like, listen, I used to work at a GameStop. We could take out new merchandise if we wanted to, and I don't want a copy that's been played.
I want my fucking shrink wrap, and I want it now.
Exactly. Or you can give me the 10% open merchandise discount. Because I go, this merchandise has been open for no reason.
And they give you a discount?
It depends. Like, because in GameStop, they got to open up at least one copy of the game. But when I see, like, a dozen or so that are out of the shrink rack, I'm like, listen, everyone in your staff took out a copy of the game. So, come on. Because I was that guy. I didn't buy a guy. When I worked at GameStop, I bought nothing.
What do you mean you bought nothing?
Like, whenever a new game came out, I would take it out for a couple of days. Because you could just check it out. You have a book, and you sign it. Like a library. You would sign it out.
Oh,
make sure you
that.
Don't destroy the... Yeah, you make sure you don't destroy the game.
Mm-hmm. Would some copies ever get, quote-unquote, lost?
No, store, we always kept good... We always kept a pretty good invoice. I mean, good inventory.
Yeah, because you know some stuff gets lost during inventory. We don't know where it goes, you know.
No, dude, the best is when you're doing shipments and you get more than what's on the paperwork.
Then you can, you know.
Yeah, then those kind of mysteriously vanish. I mean, I would just kind of raffle them off in the store and then, like, bribe my employees to, like, get more pre-orders or something.
Oh, wait, so you were a manager?
Yeah, so I would just be like, hey, we got two extra copies of, like Hitman or something. And I'd be like, all right, whoever got the most pre-orders this week gets to run away with this copy.
No. You know what you did is you put them all in a circle and, like, you broke a pool cue like the Joker in The Dark Knight and was like, all right, fight for it. George, you know you did that.
Oh, yeah.
George.
Yeah. We had a quick turnaround.
You know, there were some fucking war games going on in there. I'm actually going to start the Shotcast just with that, if that's okay.
That's fine.
Okay.
I object.
So, you object? So, yeah. You've been listening to episode 151 of the Dual Shockers Shotcast. I'm David Rodriguez, the host. And as you can hear, I've been joined by the dictator of GameStop, George.
It's my way or the highway, right?
And we're also joined by Ryan Meitzler.
If George Ohori is the dictator, then what am I?
Did
the
you
video guy?
GameStop.
I am the lowly servant of pre-orders.
There you go.
He's the one that survived.
So since I haven't really sent you the new releases, I think I'll just do them for old time's sake.
Oh, man. Classic.
So this week we have Coin Crypt for the PC. George, is that an indie game that we should check out or no? Is it a piece of shit?
I've never heard of it, so we can skip it.
Oh, okay. All right, fuck it. Farming Simulator 14 for the iPhone and Android.
There we go.
Farming Simulator. Oof. Yeah, exactly.
Thank you. Finally, Farming Simulator 2013, my greatest wish.
Yes. Young Justice Legacy for the PS3, which I had no idea that was coming out.
Yeah, Masood's been following that, I think.
He what?
Masood's been kind of, like, eyeballing that game for a bit, so...
Yeah, it's got a lot of my favorite characters. I'm kind of interested, too, but I'm also worried that it's just a piece of crap because I've heard nothing about it. But I don't know. We'll see. Blood Knights for PS3 on PlayStation Network. Aqua Pazza, but I really want to say Aqua Pizza. Aqua Pazza, Aqua Plus Dream Match for PS3 and PlayStation Network. NBA Live 14 for the Xbox One and PS4. The Amazing Spider-Man for PS.
Wow, that game actually came out.
What, Live 14?
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately. I saw a comparison picture of LeBron James on Live 14 and 2K14. Yeah, I'm sorry, but Live 14, he looks like he has Down syndrome. Like, it's not look good. And IGN went in on that game.
Yeah, too, but how's it?
George.
Really? IGN really doesn't give negative reviews that often. Hello.
They gave it a 4.3. George?
Huh, good for them.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if you could
Can you guys hear me or no?
You're dropping out a little bit.
Am I audible? Yeah. Or
you're dropping in and out.
You're dropping in and out, yeah.
All right, I'll just rejoin.
All right,
I'll rejoin.
All right. Yeah, so we've got Adventure Time, Explore the Dungeon Because I Don't Know. that is an amazing fucking subtitle.
Really good titles. The last one did, too.
Oh, yeah? What was that one?
It was like the Why'd You Steal Our Garbage, Ice King? Whatever it was. Oh. They always have very random titles, but yeah.
Yeah, so that's for PC, PS3, and PlayStation Network. Welcome back, George.
The Land of the Dead.
We've also got Stick It to the Man for PlayStation Network, which I believe we're reviewing. I think Tyler's reviewing that. Young Justice Legacy, again, for the PC and PlayStation Network. Soul Calibur 2 HD Online for PS3 and Xbox Live Marketplace.
Oh, yeah.
Air Conflicts Vietnam for the PSN. Arcania, whatever. The Complete Tale for PlayStation Network. Banfuse Rock Legends, PS3, Dynasty Warriors 6. I can't believe they're still making these. PlayStation 3 Network. Farming Simulator 2013 for the PS3 and PSN. So, Ryan, you got your wish.
Oh, yeah.
Tearaway for the PS Vita. Forza Motorsport for the Xbox One. Killer Instinct for the Xbox One. Rise, Son of Rome. Rise, Son of Rome Day 1 Edition. It's all Xbox One. Legend of Zelda, Link Between Worlds, 3DS.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan's reviewing that. Super Mario 3D World for the Wii U, which I reviewed, and the review is up today. So check that out. Dead Rising 3 for the Xbox One. Loco Cycle for the Xbox One and Xbox Games, or whatever the hell it's called. Crimson Dragon for Xbox One. Zumba Fitness Party for Xbox One. Limited edition of A Link Between Worlds. And Mario Party Island Tour for the 3DS.
That is a lot.
Yeah. George, are you still with us?
I'm here.
Okay, so George, what do you pick?
I'm gonna go with Dead Rising, because, you know, zombies and chainsaws attached to the ends of other chainsaws. I can swing that.
Will you be playing this on day one?
Yes.
You gonna be getting that? All right, cool.
Yeah, I have my battle plans worked out for procuring an Xbox One on launch day.
You know what? More power to you. Good luck out there. Ryan, what do you pick for this
one? Well, I've already got Zelda, so I'm good on that. And Zelda's been great so far. I'm actually going to pick Soul Calibur 2 HD Online, because I used to love me some Soul Calibur 2, so I'm definitely picking that up tomorrow.
That's a favorite of yours?
Yeah, totally, yeah. I am kind of lamenting that there's no Link in this version, but it's got Heihachi and Spawn, so it's good.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I actually reviewed Super Mario 3D World, and I don't know. I don't really see anything else here, so I'm just going to stick with that. That's my my pick. It's probably one of the best Super Mario games I've played since Galaxy. So, yeah, you should all buy that fucking game.
Zelda 2.
You have to, Zelda as well. Get a 3DS and get a Wii U.
Yeah. It's a good day for Nintendo on Friday.
No, seriously. I mean, I've heard a lot. Not to say I haven't heard good things about Killzone or Battlefield or, you know, but all those games also have a lot of complaints about, you know, crashing and they have bugs and you can't log on. You got to do this. You got to do that. Yo, 3D World. I just turn that shit on and start playing and I have a great time. There were no bugs I could think that I could see. There was no glitch. No glitches, nothing. What about Zelda, right? Same thing?
Pretty much, yeah. I got my Master Sword in the first half hour and I was good to go. No bugs.
Yeah. So, George, while you're out there getting an Xbox One, I would say also get a Wii U and get 3D World and just, you know, go to town.
Okay, so I don't think I'm just going to eat for the rest of the year or pay my bills,
you know,
or pay for my credit.
3D World is it's worth it, dude.
It'll sustain me somehow.
It's funny, dude, it's cat suits. Come on, man. Nah, you got to do what you got to do.
Who needs food when you have a cat suit?
Huh?
I said who needs food when you have a cat suit?
Exactly.
That's all you need.
Bitches love cat suits. Okay. all right, so we're going to continue talking about the next gen this week. And I lost my email. Yay! Where is it?
Yeah, let's talk about the next-gen systems none of us have in this podcast.
Well, okay, there's one thing to talk about. So none of us has a PS4 yet. But it's sold through... sold through, from what I understand, means, like, it actually... Those units sold to people. And they have them, in their homes now. And they're fapping. Sold through 1 million units in 24 hours. That's good news, right, gentlemen? Yeah?
I'd say so, yeah.
I concur.
What do you think this means, though, in your opinion, does this automatically mean, you know, the future of this console is bright, or is the future still something that you think we have to just wait until we're there? Even day one sales aren't going to really tell us much about where the system's going.
Well, the PS4 sales numbers probably made the Wii U very sad. I think it's probably just one of those things we have to wait and see. Because, I mean, even when you think back to how the PS3, the PS3 got kind of hammered when it first launched because of the price point, the games that were out. But eventually, I mean, it ended up catching up with the 360. So, you know, even though the PS4 obviously did very well, you know, day one, we still have to wait and see, I think, you know, see what the Xbox does on Friday.
Yeah. And don't forget the regular Wii sold a billion units.
Yeah.
And towards the end of its console cycle, I can't say a good thing about the Wii.
Yeah.
Even though it sold so well, it just kind of had a lackluster existence with outside of its first party lineup, there was nothing pulling people in. Aside from Wii Sports, that's all you had, and you know what? You already had the game, so you don't have to go out and buy anything more.
Yeah, but also the Wii, I think, you had the Wii selling amazingly well for its first, two or three years of its life cycle, and then as, you know, as the years went on, it gradually went down, you know, versus PS3 and 360.
Because everyone had one.
Right, because I think PS3 and 360, gradually people, you know, bought them more and more. My PS3, I only bought, last year. You know, so both those consoles, I think, kind of over time, grew more and more.
Especially also because, you know, the games started coming out, Sony got their shit together for a while.
Yeah.
Until, you know, the PSN broke for about 3 months or whatever. But, you know, it took them a while. But, yeah, you know. I think it's important when it comes to these launches to keep things in perspective. Because there's going to be, you know, kinks. There's going to be bugs. The launch titles aren't going to be that spectacular. It's going to take some... Personally, I'm... the titles I'm really excited for are not coming out for, 2 years. And they haven't even been announced yet. Or they have been teased. Like the Uncharted tease. That's something I'm looking forward to, you know? But we barely know anything about that. You've heard me talk about, Mirror's Edge 2. That's another one. Star Wars Battlefront. That shit's not coming out until 2015. So, you know. Until then, it's I could literally go without a PS4 for 2 years. If I had to, but I probably won't.
Yeah, I was like that with my PS3. I didn't even consider getting one until Metal Gear Solid, until the release date of Metal Gear Solid became within within sight, then I was like, alright, I should probably gear up for... Yeah, and then, you know, yeah. I kind of have a library of games to kind of back up from there, so I was able to touch the Uncharted and those type of games, and
yeah,
I had a healthy library by the time I was able to pick up my PS3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I waited on the PS3, and it wasn't like I had an issue with the system, it was just I was waiting for games to come out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like when I bought my PS3 last year, like I bought it specifically for The Last of Us for this year. But before then, I kind of stocked up on like Uncharted and like all the backlog of PS3 stuff.
Yeah, by 2008, I think you just had like MotorStorm and Resistance and Uncharted 1 and yeah. Now yeah, there still wasn't that big of a selection from what I remember. And also, I mean, you had Call of Duty 4, but.
Yeah, but that was then when multi-platform games didn't really work all that well on PlayStation 3, so it was kind of like, you know.
I think Little Big Planet might have been out around then, too, but I don't remember. Might have been a little later.
But I hardly consider that a system seller. Like, you talk about Metal Gear, and people are like, all right, by the time Metal Gear comes, I will have to invest in a next-gen system.
Yeah. Metal Gear had its own PS3, yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I think part of it, and I hate to bring this up, but I think part of it is just kind of getting older. And, like, for the PS4 and PS3, I wasn't losing my shit over it the way I was for, like, the PS2 when I was in middle school. I'm a lot more content with just waiting, you know?
Yeah, also, I think it's not as big of a jump as, like, the PS2 to the 360 or the PS3, Not quite as big, because, you know, those systems, we went from, you know, the standard definition to the HD consoles for the first time, so, and this isn't quite as big a jump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, we've definitely discussed that aspect ad nauseum on this show. I mean, that doesn't mean to say, though, that Killzone ain't pretty, because Killzone looks beautiful. I've watched Joel stream it, I think Al streamed it, too.
And those streams look great, by the way. It looks very seamless as far as people just broadcasting on their... I mean, there are like a trillion PS4 streams, so it's kind of like, who do you watch? I'm like, I'd rather watch Joel because I know him.
Yeah. Al actually had Al Zamora, one of the editors, he's had a lot of viewers. I think yesterday I forgot what title it was, but he had like 150 viewers. They were going in on his comments. It was really good. That is one feature that I'm looking forward to the most when it comes to getting my first next-gen system, which it looks like it's just going to... When I get the PS4, it's going to be the only one that'll be able to do it, because the Xbox One won't be able to stream until 2014.
But I think it still should be able to do those kind of gameplay clips.
Okay,
where you can capture like the last 15 seconds of, which is actually, I think you can do it on both next gen consoles, which is actually kind of neat, because those are like those very moments where I'm like, oh, that was a really cool kill, and then you can kind of rewind and have that recorded and throw like on Facebook and all your on your Twitters and stuff. I'm like, that's kind of cool.
Shame your friends.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. When I kill you, Dave, I'm gonna make a Facebook of me just killing you in games.
Just an album.
Yeah.
There's always those moments I've been like playing Halo or Call of Duty where it's like, oh, I wish I was recording that, and then like, you know, look, now with this, there's like, that's the perfect opportunity to do it. Mm-hmm. And like, I never really like got into streaming or watched streams much, but now that it's become so integrated into the next consoles, like, it's definitely something I'm gonna look into.
No, totally. I mean, even though like going all the way back to games like, I don't know if you guys played SOCOM for the PS2.
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
Yeah, like, games like that, you play that... I mean, and that was when we were in high school, and I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I was a rube back then, so all I did was just, you know, the shooters and everything, whatever my friends are playing. And, there were so many moments during those games where I'm like, I wish I had, I guess at that time, I wish I had the VHS recording so that I could play this for somebody. I love that you can capture those moments now. The other thing is, and this is something that I was talking about with Joel, this past weekend, but I feel bad for all those companies like Hop Hog or whatever, because the PS4 it's just gonna wreck their business, because now you don't need to buy any extra equipment to stream. You just hit a button.
I still think
they'll, you know, those people like Elgato, like, you know, my Elgato is gonna be put to good use this weekend, because I'm gonna be capturing a shit ton of Xbox One footage, and also like you said, the streaming's not going to work, so I'm going to have to find my third-party way to use it. So I will be streaming, ladies and gentlemen, so don't you worry. I'll be using an Elgato, okay. And you will hear my voice over me killing zombies or shooting Romans or whatever, driving
big
cars.
What about when they do add streaming to Xbox One?
You know, I think it's just a live feed. Can you do voice over?
You can do that with
those
PS4,
stream?
Yeah. You can talk to people. They can talk to you.
Oh, how about that?
Well, I mean, can people talk to you audio? I know that there's a chat and you can respond to them, but isn't that...
I have no idea. I think all those third-party stuff will have more elaborate kind of Twitch setups, but
they're
if all you really
to.
Want to do is just...
They're gonna have to.
But, I mean, it is simple as far as just, like... And we were talking about, like, is this going to start destroying review embargoes?
I don't think so, no.
What's going to happen to that one guy who gets his early copy of, you know, Halo 6 2 weeks early because he stole it from a Best Buy and just says, just going to go on Twitch, screw it. Like, are they going to shut me down? No, man. Look at them viewers.
I was talking about that in the chat room. I think, and that's the first thing I thought of. I'm like, you can push back the embargo just to kind of, you know, try and be ahead of those guys that, like you said, are going to get it a week or 2 weeks before the street date. But yeah, if you're streaming, obviously you're out there, so you can get fucking banned right then and there. But no, I don't think it's going to do away with embargoes. They'll probably just have to modify it, like, you know, just amend them.
Hey, by the way, no streaming either.
Don't stream this fucking shit.
Jerk.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm definitely looking forward to streaming and, like you said, capturing video of George getting shot in the face and whatnot.
Please.
yeah, so Xbox One, I mean, did you talk about this on the last Shotcast? Why Xbox One over PS4?
Yeah, we did. I think we spoke briefly about it. Yeah. I mean,
probably mostly about Titanfall, but
I'm definitely gonna get it for Titanfall. But I'm curious, what's making you get it now?
Why at launch?
Yeah.
A couple of factors. I think as far because no one else on staff is getting one. That was a big factor.
Oh, good guy George over here.
Yeah, I was always an Xbox person as far as like a preferred platform. Like when I played multiplayer games, I always prefer X because that's where my friends are. So, and you know, talking to the people I play online with, anyway, they were like, "Yeah, we're getting Xbox One." So I was like, "Oh, yeah, good." So like my little ecosystem of friends, playing online, they're moving over to Xbox One. So I'm not really gonna lose out.
I totally understand that. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not gonna really lose out on anything, and you know, I kind of always preferred that Xbox Live dashboard. You know, it's more of like a personal preference where it's like, I kind of like navigating these tiles. Always like that. What was the dashboard called on
cross media bar on the PS3?
Oh yeah, the XM.
Yeah, I always preferred the 360 dashboard over the media bar.
Yeah, because it just looks super dull in like the menu off off a Sony television or something.
Yeah.
But I don't know. To me, it just seems easier, and you know, I'm kind of curious to see. I want to try out that Kinect, not to actually play it, but actually
try that shit out.
No, but I want to yell at it and be like, "Hey, Xbox, let's go watch some cartoons while I'm waiting for this match to load up." And oh, let me tweet that. Snap to like, I'm just gonna be just my Xbox is gonna hate me for all the things I'm gonna make it do.
Can you use the Kinect to surf the internet?
There is a Bing. I think they do have like a Bing web browser, and that'd be, you know, it's kind of neat. So it'd be pretty interesting if you're stuck in a game and you just say, Xbox, Bing, how do I get past
Xbox,
this
go to
guy?
Pornhub.
Why not?
That's the PS4. You're thinking the wrong console.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I knew I had Pornhub on my mind. Yeah, good for them supporting the PS4. I mean, come on, what? That's a hell of an endorsement.
And then I think, and I think at launch, I think the 360 has a stronger launch lineup.
You mean the One?
The One. I'm sorry. Yeah, I hate that fucking name. That was such a you know, I've been fighting myself not calling it the Xbox Infinity because for when I was writing for another site, that's what I kept calling it because it was like the big rumor. I'm like, I think that name makes a lot of sense. Calling it the Xbox Infinity. That's a cool name. So I still have to fight that habit of not calling it an Infinity.
Infinity. You were really banking on that one then.
Yeah, but then, like, the next one, they'd have to call it like, the Infinity Plus One, because there's no way they'd be able to top
that. Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Super Infinity.
Well, the last one was called the 360, and that's a circle. How do you sequel a circle?
You can do it. There was 720 going in two circles.
Or Xbox 180, which is what they eventually did.
Yeah.
I would have preferred they should have just called it Xbox, which would have been fine, because they're with iPads, and no one's super confused.
Dude, they would have confused the shit out of people, because two Xbox consoles. I'm talking about, like, regular people, not gamers, because they know, obviously.
Regular people, but the last Xbox was out over 10 years ago, I think. I think when someone says, I want to play some Xbox, and I'll be like, do you want the new system or the console that came out, what?
See, look, this is
early 2000?
This is why it's easier to just put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, just keep like that. That's it. That's all you got to do. 360. Why would you go back in a complete circle? Okay, and one more question for you, George. The games. What games are you picking up? When you're gonna, when you're gonna stroll into a store on launch day and just be like, I'll take one of those, sir.
I'm definitely gonna do Dead Rising 3.
Okay.
Just because I've always liked the franchise, even though I wasn't a big fan of, say, Part 2. Mm-hmm. I've always liked what they try to do with that game. Because in a sense, it's almost like a roguelike where, if your character dies, you have to start over from scratch, but you still carry over some stuff. Yeah. And that, to me, the issue with the Dead Rising games have always been all technical, where it's like, hey, this save and checkpoint system don't work ever. Or if I'm starting over a game a million times, why can't I skip this 15-minute intro? It was little stuff like that, but the game itself I always kind of liked, and I kind of wanted to see all those zombies on screen.
Yeah, I haven't played a single Dead Rising game. What is going on with the third one? The impression I always got just from seeing a little bit of the first and second was that it was kind of like encroaching on parody territory.
It's campy.
Yeah, it's campy. Yeah,
it's very silly and kind of, it's fun because it's got the zombies, but it's totally ridiculous and you can just do whatever you want pretty much. So.
This one doesn't look like they're going that route, though. Like, in all the trailers I've seen, it's just like...
They are. The game itself just looks realistic. It just looks nice.
Yeah. But... It looks serious, but it totally looks like it's still going to be kind of...
The game is goofy, yeah. You're going to be still, hacking stuff off, wearing a banana hammock and, Mega Man hat.
Yep.
Did you guys see the Mega Man X? The Mega Man X suit you can get?
The armor, yeah. That looks pretty cool.
Did you hear what you have to go through to do that to get that shit though?
I don't know. If it's anything like the first one where you had to kill the population of people that were in the town. So you had to kill 57,300 and something or other.
Yeah.
To get a Mega Man suit.
To get the Mega Buster in the first one.
No.
And then you had to find
Sorry, go ahead.
I spent a good summer trying to get that damn thing. Fantastic. It was well worth it.
It's something like that where I'm like, I wish we had cheat codes in video games again.
Yeah.
The
funny thing is, once I actually got the Mega Buster, I'm like, oh man, this is really cool. And I used it for like a day.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to use it. Okay, I have enough. My life is empty now. I have no goals anymore.
I'm sorry. I hate myself for saying this right now. You know what Spock would say? Wanting is more pleasing than having, George. I think that's what happened to you.
Such a nerd.
I'm just saying. All right. I mean, I think we've beaten Next Gen into the ground at this point.
And I think I might also pick up Forza. Or Forza.
Really?
I forgot. We have to ask our resident Italian how it's supposed to be pronounced.
Forza.
Just because that game has always gotten such high praise, and I've never been able to get into them, just because it's too much of a car simulator, but they look so damn pretty.
Yeah,
and
probably.
This one's supposed to be a little bit more accessible, and I'm really curious about the Drivatar, just because the name is so stupid, and I need to see it in action. And it's one of those games that are going to be using the full, all the cloud servers and all this background nonsense. So I need to see what that looks like.
I'll tell you. I'm sorry, Ryan. You go first.
Oh, I was just gonna say because I'm not really a big racing game fan or whatever, but Forza is one of the most consistent, I think, Microsoft franchises that they have, and they're always pretty consistently good. So that's definitely I'm probably not getting an Xbox One at the moment, but that's definitely one I'd look into if I were picking one up at launch.
If I was George, I would look into Need for Speed Rivals, because I've heard a lot of good things about that game.
Yeah, same thing.
I've actually been playing the 360 version for review, so the review should be up sometime this week. I would like to see what the different comparisons are. From what I hear, it's more people online, the pretty dynamic weather, and, you know, more graphics with
and
an X.
And you can, I thought I read that you can, like, complete the single player while you're playing multiplayer?
It's, the game itself is both.
Okay.
You can do all these challenges and stuff, and people can just kind of jump in and out of your world. It's kind of an asynchronous multiplayer.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's pretty neat. Like, the setup they have for their old drive system is really cool. Mm-hmm. So you're not really going into a menu saying, I want to play single player or I want to play multiplayer. You're just in a world that could be populated by other folk if they want to.
Is this kind of, you think this bodes well for what they're doing with the crew and Drive Club? Like, kind of like paving the way towards those shared
experiences? You know what? Conceptually, it seems like a smaller, smaller version of what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
Because you are in a huge, in this huge kind of city, and yeah, people can kind of drop in and out. Like, the max for 360 was 8 players, so I'm kind of curious to see what we would do on the next gen, say, with, like, 16 players or 32 players, because you can be racers or cops, so it'd be kind of cool to have just an army of cops plus AI
ridiculous.
Cops
yeah.
chasing other racers across the county. Like, that's crazy. Like, I'd be really stoked about that.
You'd be reenacting, Fast and the Furious in my head. Shit.
That is pretty much what you're doing, because then you can call them out roadblocks or attack choppers that'll lay down tire spikes, or they'll just shine a light on people and they'll just get distracted and crash off the road. It's pretty
my
cool.
Lord.
Yeah.
Right. 64 players.
yeah.
It'd be like Battlefield, but with cars.
You just reminded me, Ryan, I didn't shut up the other night, but that's one reason why I'm looking forward to Star Wars Battlefront, because I'm just thinking, it's fucking Battlefield with Star Wars vehicles and weapons. I'm like, oh my god.
That'll be cool.
That's why it's like, 2015 is like the year of the nerd. Between all the movies and games that are coming out, it's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Are there any other games you're getting, George, or that's pretty much it?
Well, there's Killer Instinct, which...
Yeah,
which I think I need to play. I mean,
yeah, go ahead,
that should be really interesting. Like, because I haven't played Killer Instinct since I was like 13 or 14, so I kind of want to see where it's going. Plus, it's free to play, so I'm going to give that a shot. Then Crimson Dragon's also free to play. I'm on the fence about Rise.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it just looks really nice, but it could just be a mediocre action game.
A mediocre launch title.
Yeah, which I don't want. Like, if I'm spending money dollars, I don't want mediocre. And like, these other two games will look pretty on my system. I know Joel was talking about, like, you want that game to kind of justify the purchase. Mm-hmm. And I figure I can probably get maybe even Assassin's Creed Black Flag.
I would sooner get that.
I've seen that game played on a next gen system at like press events and stuff, and I'm like, this looks really cool. Like,
hey,
look, that I want to show off.
Maybe Ryan can send you
a copy down, Jorge.
Send you one of his 8 copies. Ubisoft, we get it. Nah, we're kidding.
Or you could play the highest rated Xbox One title, which is apparently Zoo Tycoon. So
that's another one, yes.
I thought you were joking about that, and I stumbled back at that.
I'm pretty sure it is, according to Joel. So.
Yeah,
I'm not getting a sim game on my...
Dude, this is what you do. You don't get Rise, you get Assassin's Creed 4, and then you upgrade Need for Speed Rivals with that $10 thing to the Xbox.
Oh, version. That $10 promo. Oh, that's a good point.
Just do that, dude, yeah.
Okay.
Alright, yeah, so like I was going to say... Oh, actually, random question that I just thought of. After seeing these launches, and we pretty much have a feel for, the different titles. At this point in your gaming careers, what is the best launch, in your opinion? In terms of, like, the best launch lineup?
Probably one of my favorites was the GameCube. Because I think that had a pretty awesome launch lineup.
That was Star Wars and Luigi's Mansion?
Yeah, I think Rogue Squadron 2 might have come out a little bit after the launch. Same thing for Super Smash Bros. Melee, because that came out like a month after the GameCube launch. So that's actually, I think, I'm kind of cheating it, because it's like, the couple of the best games for it came out like a month after, but GameCube had, I just remember getting that, and Smash Bros. And Rogue Squadron, and just like, that was my launch right there. So that's probably one of my favorites, but
yeah. George.
I can't remember. I think I might have to go with Ryan on GameCube because they actually had a semblance of a Mario game, didn't they? They had Luigi's Mansion, which was actually really good.
Yeah.
And
there was.
I'm also cheating and looking at a list. And yeah, they did have Rogue Squadron 2, Wave Race.
I just pulled it up too. Yeah.
Batman Vengeance, Crazy Taxi, like those were actually really cool games.
Pikmin
Vengeance
also.
Vengeance was a piece of shit.
It was good. Beat 'em up. It was a Batman beat 'em up. Like I'll play anything with a Batman skin on it.
Remember, there was that. Pikmin was also out at launch, I think, or shortly after. It was like around then.
I mean, I was going to say Dreamcast just because in my heart, Dreamcast will be number one. But
Dreamcast
they had a pretty.
Had an amazing launch. They did.
Didn't they? I'm looking at it right now. They had House of the Dead,
Sonic Adventure.
Combat Gold. Oh, NFL 2K, which is a great game. Yeah. Ready to Rumble, Sonic Adventure, Soul Calibur. Oh, you know what? That launch doesn't look
that's
that
really
bad.
That's a really good launch. Yeah.
That doesn't look half bad.
Some of the.
You know, it's a toss up. You know, I would say it's a toss up between the GameCube and the Dreamcast.
What
I really love Power Stone, and NFL 2K was amazing because you do 4-player co op on there.
Mm. What came
so
out?
So you could all be linemen and just sack a quarterback.
Sorry, what do you guys know? What came out with the PS2 launch?
PS2
Armored
launch,
Core 2.
Piece of shit. That's what came out. No,
yeah. Armored Core 2, Dynasty Warriors 2, Eternal Ring, Evergrace, Gun Griffin Blaze, Fantavision, Madden 2001.
George, my ears bleed. Stop.
Midnight Club, Orphan, the Scion of Sorcery,
the points made.
Ridge Racer 5, Smuggler's Run, Street Fighter EX. Tekken Tag,
EX3,
Time Splitters,
which no one remembers, by the way.
And my favorite of all launch titles, because it was the worst titled and then the worst game, was X-Squad.
I've never heard of that game until now.
Third-person action co-op game. One of my best friends who lived across the street got a PS2 at launch and literally got this game called X-Squad because, like, I don't know, it looks kind of cool.
That's what Oh, God. Yeah, that launch was not very good. I actually had Fantavision. That was one of the first games I got. It was the fucking fireworks game. And, I mean, that was cool, but it had one of the weirdest intros I've ever seen. I invite you and the listeners to Google Fantavision intro. Yeah, it was very bizarre. But, yeah, no, that launch was largely a shit show.
Yeah.
I mean, save for Dynasty Warriors 2... Yeah, that's it.
I started developing my Dynasty Warriors 2 was a Dynasty Warriors where I started developing my love of the franchise. Like my ironic love that turned into an actual love of the franchise started there.
He loves Dynasty Warriors 2 so much he fucks it.
But yeah, and then I'm looking at the Xbox launch, which was even worse. You had Halo, which was more than enough, and then you had Dead or Alive, which covered you for fighting and shooting. You were good. And then, NFL, oh my god, this is pre that when EA scooped out that football license where there was just a ton of different football games.
Yeah.
So they had NFL Fever 2002. That was with those really bad commercials with Peyton Manning.
Fever? Trash. I've never heard of Fever.
Yeah, because then they were, that was like the first big Xbox Live game.
NFL Fever, oh my
when
god.
When Xbox Live first came into the scene, it was like, because the Xbox Live launched soon after. And Fever was one of the first games you could play, and it was those commercials where Peyton Manning's trying to talk into a headset, and he's like, "Your defense is offensive, har har har." It was good.
Jesus. This is all right.
Oh, sorry.
No, I was gonna say I'm gonna go out. I'm just gonna go on a limb here, and I'm gonna choose the PlayStation 4. It's got a solid. I mean, look, Battlefield 4 is fucking broken from what I hear. All right, fine. But just in general, I think it has a pretty solid list of titles. I mean, you got, Need for Speed, Skylanders, Injustice, if you didn't play Marvel.
Good third-party support, I think, for the next-gen consoles.
I was going to say as well.
They were almost anticipating that, you know what I mean? Like, look, we're going to have maybe a handful of first-party games, and half of them will be good, but you've got an Assassin's Creed, you've got a shooter... You're good. Like, even if you don't find anything you like, you're fine. You'll live.
And they've got a good selection of indie titles too. They got Contrast. Rezogun is one that people, will not shut the fuck up about. And apparently, Flower looks amazing on the PS4 as well.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Rezogun's like the Geometry Wars of like the PS4 launch, from what it sounds like.
Yeah. No, so I'll definitely go with PS4 as best launch.
And an upgraded Injustice, Gods Among Us, which I'm super jealous
about.
Shots
fired. Yeah.
That's great. It was like, we're coming out on everything except Xbox One. I'm like, you bastard.
Your boy, Ed Boon, he kind of teased Injustice 2 yesterday. He was cryptic about it, but, I mean, seems like it's a done deal at this point.
Yeah, I mean, where it leaves off, it's like, yeah, you could see an opening for an Injustice 2, and if you're reading the comic books like I am, because I'm that hardcore of a nerd, is, yeah, you could see that they're just they're shaping the universe kind of pre and post the events of the game. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're not reading the Injustice comics, they're great just because it's a good lead-up to the game. Because it's a couple of years before Superman, like, loses his shit, and then you get him while he's losing
his shit. Yeah. Who writes them?
I have no idea. Some British guy. Tom something.
Some British guy. All right, I think we've ran Next Gen into the ground at this point. So we're gonna move on. Okay, this is something that I'm gonna let you guys get started on this first, because I have vitriol towards this, and I do every year. So it's the video game the so-called video game awards. I'm trying to be positive, but I can't. Spike's Video Game Awards, which for some reason this year are being called the VGXs. The VGXs. That doesn't even roll off the tongue like VGAs. VGXs. Jesus Christ, I'm sorry. Have you guys seen these nominations?
It sounds like marketing people got a hold of that and said, you should do an X, because we took a survey, we did some focus groups, and apparently X's sell well. People like X's, so there you go.
Yeah. I'm looking at the nominations now, so...
All right, we'll just start off with Game of the Year. We're going to start off with the better nominations. BioShock Infinite, Grand Theft Auto V, Super Mario 3D World, because it makes so... Okay, let's start off. First complaint I have. This thing is held at the end of the year, which makes no sense to me, because you have games that are still coming out or have been out for a week, and how could you possibly vote for 3D World? It's been out. It literally came out. It's literally not even out yet. It comes out, what, Friday, I think, right?
Yeah, it comes out Friday.
Yeah.
They're anticipating it being really good.
What the fuck? It is really good, but still, like, that practice, they've done this before. They'll put games on the list that, you know, are about to come out or have been out a week, and it's like, it just doesn't make sense. It's like, I would take them way more seriously if they just held this thing in January or February. At least you give the holiday titles room to breathe and permeate, and then when you have a list of nominations, it actually makes sense, you know?
I mean, that's what we do for the award show I take part in every February is the New York Video Game Critics Circle Awards, where it's our Game of the Years. Okay. And yeah, that one of the big things was like, yeah, we don't vote until the end of the year just for that reason. Yeah. So in January, that's when we start casting our ballots, and you know, yeah, you start making arguments in, you know, November, December, where it's like, hey, look, I played Black Flag, I think we should probably nominate this for Game of the Year, and people feel like, no, you're a fucking idiot, or it gets violent, like it goes, no, yeah, you're dumb, but yeah, you want to give everyone a chance.
Yeah, exactly, and we're gonna get into that more once we get to more of the nominations, but yeah, so Super Mario 3D World, The Last of Us, and Tomb Raider, in addition to Infinite and GTA 5. Do you guys... I mean, have you guys thought of your Game of the Year picks or any of these contenders for you? Or do you have a choice yet?
I mean, most of my Games of the Year are probably on that list. So, and specifically my Game of the Year is probably on that list. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's a good selection, obviously. And it's a nice, like, there's a nice variety of stuff from throughout the year, because usually the thing I hate is when they usually pick stuff from, like, the latter half of the year, you know, the stuff from that comes out, like, October and November. But obviously this year was really good because we had a consistent stream of releases throughout the year, because you had, like, BioShock at the beginning of the year, Last of Us in the summer.
Tomb Raider was in March as well.
Yeah, Tomb Raider
Tomb Raider deserves at least some acknowledgement, because Tomb Raider was a really good game, and I don't know if it just came out at a weird time where people were just kind of like, oh yeah, look, it's Tomb Raider, but I think I'd rather do other things.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
But no, I mean, I'm happy with all those nominations. I think they're all good.
I don't know. I can I give it to XCOM again? It's technically new XCOM this year.
An Enemy Within.
An Enemy Within is really good.
Oh, hey, George, I'm sorry. Can I ask you a stupid question?
Go for it.
Does Enemy Within come with Enemy Unknown? Because that is—it's so confusing to me right now. I'm like, is it
Enemy? Enemy Within is kind of like a fake expansion in the same way that, like, you know, when you play Civilization, and they have like, oh, this is Gods and Kings, where they're introducing a bunch of new mechanics, but they just incorporate that into the main single player campaign. So
it's like a Game of the Year edition.
Yes, but
it has a lot of new content. Yeah.
But it changes fundamentally how the game is played. So, like, you know, the first quarter of the game is like, oh, this is a typical XCOM game. But when you unlock, like, the when you can start genetically modifying your soldiers or putting them in mech suits, it changes everything around. Where it's like, holy shit, like, it opens up a new avenue of gameplay, and they added, like, little things, like, you can give your guys medals, which I think is awesome. And there's like a little medal ceremony, so it's like, oh, I'm giving you a medal, and you can still. So they do it in ways to make you grow even closer to your soldiers before you get them slaughtered.
Oh yeah, no, of course, yeah. Before you send them off to die.
But I mean, but it's still technically overall it's the same story. It's like aliens are still invading. Okay. Like that doesn't change.
Yeah, it was so confusing when I first saw it.
But
like,
is
it an expansion or is it an actual like expansion with the original game?
Totally worth playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd definitely play that again. Yeah. But yeah, in terms of this list,
and you know what game I was thinking about, which people were kind of like, it was divisive, and I really couldn't figure out why. But I really liked DMC, that Devil May Cry game.
I did too. I liked it
this year.
I haven't played that.
When I played it at the beginning of the year, I gave that strong consideration. I'm like, you know, this is probably one of my top five games of the year.
I think the main problems with that are like it was divisive among fans just because of the direction it took, you know, with the series.
I think the problems were all fanboy related because I didn't have any issue I didn't have any issue with plot or the actual gameplay itself. Where you're like, oh, you can't, the combos aren't the same. I'm like, well, the last game you played was like 5 years ago, so who cares? Yeah. Like
that argument always makes me laugh. First they'll say
it's too easy. It's too hard.
They'll say, you know, oh, they haven't innovated enough, or they haven't done anything different. But then when they do, they complain that it's not the same as the last one.
Yeah, and your fucking mind. And I really like Dante. Like this iteration of Dante was like really endearing.
But his hair wasn't white, George.
I really fucking hate the internet, and I hate reading comments. Like, whenever we post anything about Devil May Cry, it just kind of devolves into that conversation, and I just want to kill myself.
Yeah. But,
I thought Dante had a really good arc, and it was like he went from being just like some punk asshole to a guy who actually gives a shit towards the end of the game.
Yeah.
And his rivalry with Virgil is really good. And it's like, God damn it! Like this game's written really well, and the art direction's really cool. You play that game and play the stage where they're doing the chalkboard mapping. So you're playing one of the levels, and the girl's trying to give you like the rundown. So halfway through a level, it turns into like a chalkboard drawing because the girl's explaining to you where you have to go. Like that is such a cool angle. Or you fight a Bill O'Reilly clone in like the internet. It's fucking amazing.
God, what?
Yeah.
Play Devil May Cry. It's great.
I plan on it.
It is. I'm a big DMC fan, like a Devil May Cry fan. But like DMC, I thought was great. But I think it's just also like it came out in January, so it's gonna probably tend to get forgotten about since it was so early in the year. But
no, let's put Super Mario 3D World on the list that no one's played yet. I mean, this is what I'm talking about, dude.
Well, they probably won't win. I mean, they can put whatever out, but they probably won't win. But that's, I think that like Grand Theft Auto is probably gonna win that.
You sure?
I think
I'm going with The Last of Us. That's my pick.
I think Grand Theft Auto will win, and then they will release a trailer for their downloadable single player thing.
Okay, so we've already gotten to the part of the conversation where it's the VGAs are bullshit, basically.
I don't know what you're talking about. I think they just had that clip ready. I think they had that clip ready just in case they won.
Just in case. Oh, okay. I thought you were implying that it's gonna win, you know, for that reason.
No. Well, isn't most of that stuff viewer is. I know there is a panel of people who've almost like an academy who vote, but isn't a lot of that like viewer voting also?
The advisory council is all journalists.
Okay.
And then they ask the readers or whoever to vote on like what they want to win. I'm not sure how it works. I think the advisory council just picks the games and then the people vote for them. I don't know. And possibly at this point I couldn't care less. But I am curious about their nominations. But yeah, no, I'm gonna go with The Last of Us just because I felt it had a stronger story.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because I think it's pretty much like a big, like a three-way race between Last of Us, Grand Theft Auto, and BioShock. But
yeah,
I mean, I think Grand Theft Auto could win because it's the most recent in mind.
Yeah. But The Last of Us had a big push this summer.
Yeah, so. I'm pretty sure Troy Baker will just win a bunch of awards for Last of Us. Like, I'm pretty sure The Last of Us voice, yeah, I'm pretty sure he'll win a bunch of awards. That'll be Last of Us' contribution. It's like, oh, shit, they won a lot of awards for voice acting.
So the next category we have is Studio of the Year. And this is interesting. We have Irrational Games, developers of BioShock Infinite, Naughty Dog, which is developers of The Last of Us, Rockstar North, developers of GTA 5. And the Fulbright Company, developers of...
Gone Home?
Okay. so it's interesting.
What's like, the measure of... I don't understand the category, though.
Yeah.
Because then that is literally just a popularity contest, then.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to try... and be objective here.
And really, and what if the studio of the year be the guys that do more than one game a year?
Well, I think
it's kind of like having a best director category.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. It's the equivalent of the best director category, pretty much. So that's why you could see something like the Fulbright Company get the nomination in to kind of recognize, you know, what they've done. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about this one. I mean, honestly, it's like, meh. It doesn't really. I don't know. Probably Naughty Dog. I don't know. This is one of those. I mean, look, like all due respect to the developers, but the VGA is just, yeah. All right, we got best first person shooter or best shooter. Battlefield 4, BioShock, Call of Duty Ghosts, which is always on there. I think because it's obligatory. And Metro Last Light. And I'm gonna go on a limb here and be like Metro Last Light. That was a lot of fucking fun.
No, I wasn't crazy about that AI.
The AI?
Yeah, I mean, Metro Last Light, all the monsters did to you was just, everyone just kind of charged at you.
Humans or both?
Humans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the AI wasn't that great as far, I think it's atmospheric, and I think if you wanted something that's moody, Metro Last Light is incredible.
Well, see, but George, that's what gives me a hard-on when I play a game, the atmosphere.
Okay. Well, define that in your category. Are we going for best shooter or best game that gives Dave a hard on?
That should be a category, right?
Because these are like super vague categories. Because it's like they're all different types of. On paper, you know what? I think Battlefield's probably the best shooter because if you play it online, it's great. But I don't know. Maybe Call of Duty will win because it's Call of Duty. But it's a dumb category.
It's one for that reason before. And then BioShock's on there. Yeah.
And BioShock wasn't even that great of a shooter.
Yeah, I don't really like. I've never considered BioShock to be like. If someone asks me, what is BioShock about? I don't just say it's a shooter. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I'm insulting the game if I say it's a shooter.
It's a shooter. It's also kind of like calling Borderlands like a shooter. Like Borderlands to me isn't just a shooter.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is just, yeah. All right, best action-adventure game. So pretty much Tomb Raider, The Last of Us, GTA 5. So all the Game of the Year contenders plus Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag. Best action-adventure game.
That makes no sense, because then you can do best open world. Like, there should be a best open world category.
Wait, hold on. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever watched the... like these awards before?
I saw the one where Neil Patrick Harris hosts. Does he still host them now? Or
one I saw was 2011, and that was Zachary Levi, and I almost choked myself.
Yeah, he almost did one. It was like good attempt, Neil. You poor bastard. You'll take any job, wouldn't you? But I saw it more for just was like, oh, they're gonna do a new trailer for Halo, or I think they're gonna show something for Last of Us or whatever.
Right.
I don't know. They were showing. I think that either it was a trailer for like Third Uncharted or something where they showed like that boat scene.
So what is that like 2010 then?
Yeah, that was way back. Yeah. But that's what it was. You watched to see like the exclusive trailers that get released that day.
Yeah.
The last one I watched was 2 years ago, and it was one of the worst things I've seen on television. It was nothing but trailers, and when they actually got to giving out awards, they had, like, a 45-second kind of like a sizzle reel, yeah, where they just kind of said, oh, this game won this, this game won this, this game won this. Dude, Mark Hamill was there because he was nominated for Best Voice Actor. He had no idea who won because they just announced it, like, during a commercial or some shit. The rest of it was just trailers and gags that weren't funny.
Yeah, that's
the thing. Here's the thing about the VGAs. The VGAs make... It's Spike who does it, right?
Yeah.
It makes them a lot of money because it's essentially people paying millions in advertising to watch a clip show of trailers.
Yeah. That's really the big... It's the big, you know, trailer dump for 2 hours, basically, is how I always see the VGAs. So, because that's always... It's a, you know, it's a big glorified press event, mostly, I think.
They really just shouldn't... They shouldn't call it the video game... They shouldn't hand out awards. Just say... Just call it the... Holiday 2013 video game circle jerk or something. Just be honest what it's about.
The video games are great awards.
Exactly. Just be honest. Because it seems like they can't decide if they want to make it a bona fide award show or, like you said, just 2 hours or an hour just to, you know, show trailers and hype stuff up.
Well, yeah, not an award show.
Bona fide award shows are boring. That's why.
Yeah. Well, there's no, like, you know, like, for every other, like, you know, entertainment medium, you have the Emmys, you have the Tonys, you have the Oscars, you know. Yeah. For video games, there's no equivalent like that. So the Spike, you know, the VGA awards are kind of like the closest we have to that. But, yeah.
But I think there's
a
lot that they can learn from those award shows, though. That's what I'm saying.
Right. But also, like, yeah, they can't really be taken seriously because there's so much put into marketing and trailers and, like, the entertainment side of it that I think it's hard to kind of take it seriously.
Yeah. And there are better, I mean, before I get beaten up in the comments, yes, there are better award shows, like the one that's held by the Academy of Interactive Arts and Sciences, and, you know...
Or the Video Game Critics Circle Award in New York.
I was definitely going to plug you, George. That was just the second thing I was going to say. So, you know, I totally agree. There are actual award shows out there, but it's just disappointing that this one is the one that gets, you know, the most publicity, the one that's most out there. But, you know... honestly, I just want to talk about the nominations.
Yeah, keep going.
Yeah, best sports game, we have FIFA 14, MLB 13, The Show, NBA 2K14, and NHL 14. Sports games.
Yeah, sports. Great, yay, yeah. Sports.
I'm gonna go with
baseball?
Hockey.
Yeah, let's go with baseball. I like baseball.
I'm going with hockey. oh, wait, Ryan, do you give any fucks about sports or no?
Not really. I'm indifferent. Whichever. Oh, okay. They all sound good.
That's fine. Yeah. Do you, boo-boo. All right, George, this is your category. Best indie game. Have they ever had an indie a category for this? Because
They've had downloadable categories before, which is, I think, kind of where they put you know, some indie titles. But okay. I don't think it's like an indie category specifically.
Like what you just said sounds like, yeah, they had a category and they just needed to kind of have some filler, so they're like, oh, just pick some indie games.
I think, yeah, it was downloadable, but I think it was more focused towards, like, Xbox Live Arcade titles and PSN titles, but this is, like, I mean, a lot of these titles you see here are all pretty much, like,
these
Steam games.
PC, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, best indie game category, you've got Gone Home, Kentucky Route Zero, which
that's
I've never
a great
heard.
Game.
Oh, okay, I'm gonna pick that up then, since you
yeah,
said
I've heard
that.
Of that, too.
Papers, Please, and the Stanley Parable.
Oh, they're all so good. They all should just leave with awards.
that's a really good indie category. I mean,
God
I would,
damn it.
I'd go with Gone Home, but they're all really, really good.
Yeah. Fuck.
I've only played Papers, Please. I have Gone Home and Stanley Parable on deck, but yeah.
I think to me it's a close tie for Stanley Parable and Gone Home.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Just because Gone Home made me feel good at the very end of the game, mm-hmm. because Gone Home does kind of like a bait and switch on you. That's kind of like you just kind of you're super worried and then you're relieved at the end of the game. But Stanley Parable has a smile on your face the whole time you're playing.
It's very so. Yeah, I played about 5 minutes.
I'm going with the positive feels. So Stanley Parable wins.
Feels. All right, let's move on.
Definitive Stanley Parable wins.
They got best RPG here, Final Fantasy 14 Online, A Realm Reborn. what the hell is that? Fire Emblem Awakening.
There we go.
Ni No Kuni, Wrath of the White Witch, and Pokemon XY.
Hmm.
Yep.
Which is the one I want? I think Fire Emblem's probably the best one out of them.
Yeah, that's what I'd say.
Fire Emblem's that's a great game. The best part is people can die permanently, so it's like, hey, that guy might not be in that cutscene because you got him killed, you jerk. To me, that's important.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not going to Final Fantasy XIV because it's just an MMORPG with zero plot.
So you're talking about, like, story in that aspect?
Yeah, I mean, because if we just bare bones mechanics, they're all just kind of boring. Mm-hmm. So you kind of have to add something to it. But yeah, Fire Emblem's got that, and Pokemon's Pokemon. I mean, I guess
that's another game. It's maybe it's just me, but if someone asked me to describe Pokemon, I don't automatically go to RPG when I talk about it.
I say it's a monster collecting. It's a collecting game.
Yeah, I don't think of RPG. I don't know. It's just me.
It's cute monster gladiatorial combat.
Yeah, I'll probably go with Ni No Kuni for this one.
Yeah.
Ryan?
I haven't played Ni No Kuni, and I don't really play MMOs. So I'd be between Pokemon or Fire Emblem, probably leaning toward Fire Emblem. But
okay. There we go. Smart man. I knew about this guy, Ryan. He's a winner.
next category is best fighting game, which includes Dive Kick that can fuck right off. Into Space, Injustice, Gods Among Us, Killer Instinct, and...
Which is not even out yet.
Yeah, again, another game that's not fucking out yet. And Tekken Revolution.
And only has two characters if you don't buy the other, so...
It's free!
Injustice,
if you like it,
I'm just gonna
pay
go
for
with
it.
Injustice. I'm just gonna go with Injustice.
Yeah, Injustice probably the one. I think Tekken is there because I think they needed five games, and they were like, did anything else come out?
Four games. Fuck that.
Oh, there was four games?
Yeah.
Dive Kick is totally a fighting game.
Fucking Dive Kick. That's all you do.
Dive Kick is good. Dive Kick is great. It is the last bit of a fighting game. The most important part of a fighting game is the last hit.
Oh, I can't even. Look, I know there's going to be, you know, these little niche games and whatnot. I understand that. But I've seen Dive Kick. I've played Dive Kick. I don't fucking get it. But you know what?
It's great.
People play it. They enjoy it. More power to you. You have fun. All right, best driving game, or really racing game, F1 2013, Grid 2, Forza 5, which is not fucking out yet, and Need for Speed Rivals, which is kind of out, but not fully out.
It, like, just came out.
Yeah.
I'll go with Need for Speed, just because I feel like Forza is probably really intimidating. Like, it's probably a great everything game, but I think when it comes down to put me on the track, will I have fun with this? Realism doesn't always translate into best time ever.
Yeah, look at Gran Turismo. Look at how far that's fallen.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure Forza's great, but Need for Speed is just the tits. It is great.
Well, as long as Criterion's working on it, or an election.
It's Ghost, but it's former Burnout Paradise people, and you do get a Burnout Paradise vibe when you play the game, because it's a big open world with a ton of shit to do.
Then there you go.
There you go.
Ryan.
Burnout Lives. We got a Burnout sequel, sort of.
That,
a spiritual
that
successor.
Was Need for Speed Most Wanted. That was your Burnout sequel. Ryan, what do you think?
Racing. Again, like, I'm not really a big racing game fan, but probably Forza or Need for Speed is probably what I'd bet on.
Nice. Well, I mean, Ryan just saw. I recorded 30 minutes of footage that Ryan had to edit, so he got plenty of Need for Speed.
Like, fuck this shit. all right, best DLC. Borderlands 2, Tiny Tina's Assault on Dragonkeep. Dishonored, The Knife of Dunwall. Far Cry 3, Blood Dragon. And Mass Effect 3, Citadel.
Oh, man, Citadel was great.
Yeah, that was Citadel a nice way to end the Shepard story.
Yeah.
Like, well, not just the Shepard, yeah, just that whole part of the franchise.
It reminded me of that puppet episode from Angel.
I've never watched Angel.
It's so lighthearted and, like, it's just so random. And there was an episode of Angel where they turn Angel into a Muppet.
What the fuck?
And he's killing people as a Muppet, and then he comes back. It was so lighthearted, but it was, like, such a great lighthearted episode, and it just didn't fit at all. It just seemed like someone just wanted to make an Angel puppet episode and just threw it in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's felt the same way in this Citadel DLC, where it's like, look, we don't even know how this fits in the continuity, we're just going to shove it in there. And we're just going to go nuts with it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but, I totally agree. Mass Effect 3.
DLC, that's such a dumb category, though.
It's about to get worse.
Because I would say, like, I would go with the Red Sun costume pack in Injustice.
Yeah,
that's technically really good DLC.
And say, like, best additional story
Yeah.
I think it's a little misleading since, like, because Blood Dragon essentially is its own game because you don't even need Far Cry 3 to play it.
That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a little, I guess, like a little vague in terms of, but yeah, I don't know. But anyway, I liked Mass Effect 3 Citadel a lot. I'd probably go with Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon just because it's a really substantial piece of content that was really different from the main game.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's probably what I go with, but.
Totally agree. Yeah, probably Mass Effect 3 Citadel for me, but from what I heard about Far Cry 3, that would probably get a vote for me.
Just for the intro movie alone, I would vote for that. It's hilarious, but
yeah, but it's an evil clone in Citadel. Spoilers.
Yeah.
But no, it's the best kind of plot twist.
It's an evil clone, but also the stuff. It's like you said, the stuff throughout, like the little comments they make to each other, the dialogue.
It's a DLC where you throw a house party.
Yeah.
For literally no reason.
It was a fucking
house party.
Especially seeing Tally on the toilet drunk.
Yeah, when they're all hungover. Oh, shit, I forgot about that. Yeah. That was perfect.
Yeah.
All right, so the next few categories can all fuck off because they've never made sense to me. They have categories for best Xbox, PlayStation, and Nintendo, and PC game. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I'm sorry. I don't get it.
So that's literally just a first-party just circle jerk.
It's not it's not even first-party games. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's all redundant. So with best... All right. For example, best Xbox game, they have Bioshock Infinite, Grand Theft Auto V, Tomb Raider, which have already been nominated for these other categories. And they have Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons.
Which that'll win.
Of course. Well, there's no guarantee. Trust me. I've seen it happen.
That'll win. If they're going to be diplomatic about this, which they should.
They're not. 2 years ago, Batman won everything, and it was in every category. Well, and the thing is, I don't understand what makes...
Batman didn't win enough that year, all right?
No,
they should have been more categories to give Batman awards.
Trust me, George.
It should have been best Batman game, and it should have been winner Batman Arkham Asylum.
Okay, look, the PlayStation list. GTA V, Last of Us, Tomb Raider, and then Rayman Legends. I just don't get the criteria... In these nominations for best game on Xbox or PlayStation, I honestly don't get it. It feels like I can't even. It just doesn't make any sense to me. What's the criteria that makes it a good Xbox game as opposed to a good PlayStation game, or you know, as opposed to a good PC game? Like what?
Yeah.
You know, like what's the criteria for that?
Especially since GTA and Tomb Raider are nominated both in Xbox and PlayStation. So.
Yeah. Like. I don't know. Like, yeah, all right, it's, you know, good for a company if they say, you know, we won in, like, four different categories, but I just don't get the criteria. It's pretty much what we've been talking about this whole podcast. It's like the... Some of these selections don't make any goddamn sense.
What's your PC? Just out of curiosity.
PC is Battlefield 4, Gone Home, Papers, Please, and The Stanley Parable. So it's basically the indie basically category that. Plus Battlefield 4.
Which then Battlefield 4 will win.
It's so bizarre. If I did this,
because they're playing a version that works, I assume.
That's the other thing, yeah. Okay, so we're gonna wrap this up with a couple more categories. We've got best handheld, which the nominations are Animal Crossing New Leaf, Pokemon XY, Tearaway, which just came out, I think. And,
this week. Oh, it's coming out this week,
course.
I think, yeah.
Of course, it's not out yet. And The Legend of Zelda: A Link Between Worlds, which is just came out or is about to come out.
Out on Friday.
What's up?
Out on Friday.
Okay, yeah. So again, hasn't come out yet. I can't. Yeah, I'm gonna play. I'm gonna be Ryan and just be like, I have no choice because I don't have a handheld right now. I have heard a lot of good things about Zelda, though. So.
I would honestly be between Zelda or Animal Crossing, only because Animal Crossing, I've been playing the shit out of that, like, all year. So.
I heard that's like crack, yeah.
It really is. It's hard not to play it, but anyway.
All
right. Zelda will win, because it's Zelda.
Like, yeah. But Animal Crossing, I'd give a close second.
Here's another category that is bizarre to me. Best casual game. They have Animal Crossing New Leaf... Which, if you follow Twitter, if you follow people on Twitter that play video games...
There's nothing casual about that.
Yeah, nothing. They're on it all the time. Casual to me is a game that you play, like, on the toilet and then like that's it.
Candy
you know?
Crush or something. Candy Crush, yeah, like that should be nominated on, or like a Plants vs. Zombies. Oh, that's a casual game.
George, prepare yourself. It's about to get worse. So they have Animal Crossing as a nomination for that. Then they have Disney Infinity, which again, like,
which that's not a really a casual game. That's more like a kid game. They should have a kid game category or a minors category. I
think that's more the intent of the category, but they're calling it casual to, I guess, not offend anyone. So
I think they should have put more thought into this. I'm sorry. Yeah. And then Skylanders Swap Force again. If you've seen people play this game, it's not a casual crowd. Like,
it's your baby games category.
And then Plants vs. Zombies 2, it's about time. So this casual category can also just... Yeah, no, sorry.
Well, this is going to be one of those categories that's going to be, like, really glossed over at the thing.
Yeah,
Will they even get a, like, stage time, or will this be, like, during the commercial break?
No, we need our trailers. We need trailer time.
Yeah, so it'll probably be what they're doing, like, in the Oscars, where it's like, oh, yeah, during the day we have the awards for Best Production Lighting Assistant. By the way.
Yeah. But see, we don't have that. It's just, yeah. Okay, this is the category, and I don't know if you were witness to this, George, but Ryan, I think you saw that I had a meltdown when I saw this.
Yeah.
I think you know what I'm talking about. Okay, so you have the nominations for Best Voice Actor. And you have Willem Dafoe as Nathan Dawkins from Beyond Two Souls. Stephen Ogg as Trevor Phillips from GTA 5. Then you have Troy Baker as Booker DeWitt from Bioshock Infinite.
Okay.
Then you have Troy Baker again as Joel from The Last of Us.
Okay.
Doesn't make any sense to me. You don't nominate... Look, I love... First of all, Troy Baker's an amazing actor. He did great work in The Last of Us as Joel. I've heard nothing but good things about him as Booker. But I don't agree with nominating him twice.
Well, I'm okay with that because it's two different roles. With just as much dialogue. Like, I would have called bullshit when they said, like, Troy Baker as the Joker. What I'm like, well, the Joker doesn't have that many lines. In Arkham Origins. Even though every time Joker shows up on screen, you're just kind of like, alright, I need to stop what I'm doing. I need to watch this. Mm-hmm. But... he easily could have been nominated three times. But you know what?
Been nominated three times. They could have just made he may not the win. Troy Baker category, you know? But... I'm just saying, like, you nominate him twice, it feels like you're they are taking a spot away from another actor who worked just as hard, especially when this category doesn't discern between leading and supporting roles. Like, you could have nominated...
Or male or female. Is there a female actress
there is.
Category?
I mean, we're going to get to that because it's not as much of a shit show. But they could have easily nominated Nolan North for his role in The Last of Us. You know? He was creepy in that. He did a lot with very little. You know,
I think they're going with any voice acting like a leading man role, meaning like there was a lot of screen time, there was a lot of actual dialogue. I could see Joel makes sense because I think Joel stood out as a character, mm-hmm. and you know, he's in the majority of the game and he does a lot of talking. So does Booker DeWitt. I think it's fair. And
I don't know. I mean, because you could easily nominate him for Joel. Look, the whole point of the supposed point of these award shows is you're going to nominate someone for their best performance, right? So
what if he had two outstanding performances? I thought his Booker was good. I don't think one outshines the other. What it does is it splits the vote. So you know what? Troy Baker might not even win. It might go to Stephen Ogg because some people might like Troy Baker as Joel. Some people might prefer his Booker DeWitt. But you know what? That's not enough votes one way or the other. And I think
that is a good point. That like
Stephen,
because
Stephen Ogg will win.
Because he has the two nominations, he may not even win because he might split votes. So
it's the same guy. I mean, you could have nominated him. I mean, the whole point of having this advisory council is to kind of go over these games and decide, you know, who's worthy of what nomination. So I think they could have easily had a discussion on Troy Baker and said, you know, look, The Last of Us or Bioshock, which is his, you know, performance of the year. You pick one and then you put in the other one. And say, you know, look, we're nominating him for The Last of Us, but he was really good in Bioshock Infinite. And then you give that other nomination to someone else who's as deserving. I mean,
I think you have that conversation if one of those two games was really shitty, but it turns out BioShock Infinite, on top of having good voice acting, was also a really good game, and the same with Last of Us. So I think that's a tough conversation to have, where it's like, hey, you know, he's good in both, and he doesn't do them the same either. Mm-hmm. Like, one, he's clearly Texan, and the other one, he's just, you know, detective guy.
Gruff,
Gruff man. Yeah, I don't know, like, noir detective dude, gumshoe. But it's clearly two different voices that he's doing. It's not like, you know, he's not doing the Nolan North where it's just kind of like, yeah, it's Drake and it's Drake. You like
it's Spec Ops, yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I'm just even though he is a great Penguin in Batman. If you play Arkham City,
yes,
he's a fantastic Penguin.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. We'll have to agree to disagree on this because I mean, just the last thing I'll say is there. I mean. The whole, like, thing of performance capture has grown so much, especially this year. And there is a much larger selection of performances to choose from.
Take away one of those Troy Bakers.
Okay.
Who would you have put?
Well, I haven't played BioShock yet, so that just goes out by default. So you have him nominated for The Last of Us. That
which is fine.
Opens up, like once again, they don't discern. I mean, obviously these nominations are for leading roles, right? But doesn't discern whether or not it's for supporting roles. Like, GTA 5 is technically doesn't have one main character. It has three main characters, which would be kind of like an ensemble if it was a film. You have Stephen Ogg nominated. I thought Franklin was really good, especially when you see the background of his performance, that he had never really acted before. And you know, his character was pretty good. And also, Michael, GTA 5, I thought he was good too.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, if you're gonna,
I thought they were fine. Yeah, they were fine. But like the Stephen Ogg performance really he outshined everyone, and that's the only performance you remember in that.
Trevor
going crazy is the only moments I can recall in that game.
Not Michael beating up the yoga instructor, because I thought that was fucking funny.
It was hilarious.
But also,
I was watching that more because he was beating up a yoga instructor, not because he was like, oh, he delivered that line so powerfully. It's like, no, he's fucking some dude beating up another dude. Like,
thing.
That's pretty cool.
Here's the other thing. Well, I mean, the other thing also is, like I said, they don't discern between supporting and leading roles in this category. So I would definitely put Nolan North's performance from The Last of Us here as well. Because he was, like, he went from this nice guy that you could kind of trust to, you know, fucking Ted Bundy within 20 minutes. And, yeah, and also his voice was just creepy, you know? So that's the whole point I'm making.
I think they go by, like, almost like it's a leading man, where he's like, yeah, he was only in the movie for, like, 10 minutes. But, yeah, if they had a supporting role...
That's not specified, that's all I'm saying.
Stop hating on Troy Baker.
I love Troy Baker.
And a handsome man. Right? You were there when he did that Joker monologue, right?
Dude, I think he's really good.
You had love in your eyes when that happened.
Listeners, please comment and say who do you think is right, me or George.
You were like, Troy Baker, take my virginity. Just
definitely.
Take it, please.
All right.
Make me a woman.
Best voice actress, Ashley Johnson as Ellie from The Last of Us, Courtney Draper as Elizabeth from BioShock, Camilla Luddington as Lara Croft, and Ellen Page as Jodie Holmes from Beyond Two Souls.
I do think it is kind of funny that Ellen Page and Ellie are nominated both after all the Ellie looks like Ellen Page.
So who does a better Ellen Page?
I voted for Ellen Page in The Last of Us. I didn't really like her.
Which one?
Beyond Two Souls.
I voted for Ellen Page. Which one?
Look at this. I told you, George, they're nominating the same actress again. It's bullshit. I'm probably going to go with Camilla Luddington as Lara Croft.
I'd be between Ashley Johnson and Ellen Page, because they're really good. I'd probably give the slight edge to Ashley Johnson, but I have a feeling because Ellen Page is an Academy Award-nominated actress, she might get it, but who knows?
I don't think so. Depending on how much voting has to do with this process, I'm going to say the fanboys are going to shit on Beyond Two Souls because they hate David Cage. So I don't
know. They hate David Cage. She's a great actress, but I mean, some of the lines that she has to say are just like, ugh, like,
yeah.
But I think Ashley probably wins. You know,
I think so. Yeah,
she definitely gets it.
Maybe Elizabeth, because I hear a lot of good things about her. I hear people talk more about her than Booker.
It's a it is kind of a toss-up because I feel she is doing more Elizabeth is doing more performing in that. Like, there's a lot more range of emotion in BioShock Infinite from Elizabeth than that Ellen Page character, than Ellie, because Ellie is just literally, it's just, Ellie is just, you know, 12 hours of sass. You're just giving sass from her, which is, you know, she's done very well, but...
And 12 hours of, Jesus, Joel!
Jesus, fuck, man!
Oh, yeah, oh, man! God. All right, we got to wrap this up. So, we're just going to do the lightning round, guys, lightning round. Best soundtrack, BioShock, GTA, Ni No Kuni, or The Last of Us? Go.
Last of Us.
When did Hotline Miami come out? Because that should win.
That's last year.
Yeah, sorry.
Hotline
Miami 2. It's not out yet, but we'll vote for it.
That should win. There you go. Hotline Miami.
All right, we're going to continue the lightning round. Best song in a game. ADHD by Kendrick Lamar in GTA 5. Sleepwalking performed by the Chain Gang of 1974 in GTA 5. Survival performed by Eminem for Call of Duty Ghosts. And Will the Circle Be Unbroken, performed by Courtney Draper and Troy Baker. This motherfucker's getting nominated for everything. And
I think it's that one. That one wins.
Gonna win.
That
one's gonna win. Because they love Troy Baker. They love him.
BioShock. And that was a really cool song. Yeah. And the man can sing.
And then he'll get to perform it after the nomination. So
exactly.
Win. Yeah.
We're gonna continue this lightning round, gentlemen. Most anticipated game: Destiny, Titanfall, South Park, or The Witcher 3, or Watch Dogs. Go.
So, can we call this category the company that'll pay the most money for?
Who's got a trailer ready to go and $1 million to pay in advertising? Like,
actually, my winner is Infamous Second Son, but that's not on this list. So, unfortunately,
you're out of order, Ryan. You're out of order.
I know.
I'm gonna go with Titanfall.
Yeah, I'm gonna think who's got the most money. I think Ubisoft might just throw us. No, I'm thinking about something because I think of Watch Dogs. I'm thinking was Watch Dogs on the list, by the way?
Yeah,
I wasn't even listening.
Yeah, Watch Dogs.
This is one of two fan categories. Just the fans are voting for this.
Yeah.
it'll be Watch Dogs then. Okay. Fans are voting. Yeah, then it's Watch Dogs.
The nominees are South Park, Destiny, Watch Dogs, Titanfall, and The Witcher 3.
The Witcher 3 should win, but it won't. It'll be Watch Dogs, as people will vote for them. People are still kind of crazy about that.
And
they want Watch Dogs. It's clear people want Watch Dogs.
The other category is Character of the Year, and I don't see the nominations here. So I guess Troy Baker's going to win.
It's you.
Oh, really? We're going to do
everyone. Everyone is the Character of the Year.
So in conclusion, all due respect to the developers and the advisory council that is involved. I'm sure they do the best they can, but overall, the VGXs can fuck right off into space. Ryan, what are you playing this week?
Lots of Zelda. I've been playing mostly that. I think that's pretty much been it lately. All right. I'm working on the review, which should hopefully go up this week. I could just say it's really, really, really damn good Zelda.
All right. George, what are you playing?
Need for Speed Rivals, you should play it, it's really good. Review's coming up soon. XCOM Enemy Within is XCOM, and I have no problem with that. And I will be playing a lot of Xbox One.
But you won't be streaming, so they'll have... Well, no.
I will be streaming.
Be streaming.
I have streaming capabilities, all right?
Yeah.
Me and my Elgato, we will stream, my friend.
See, the rest of you won't be streaming, but George will, so...
I will. DualShockers George. Check it out, bitches.
That's on Twitch, right?
I guess. I don't know.
What do you stream on? Have you ever streamed before?
It's on Twitch. I think it's Twitch. Okay. Yeah, I think it is.
Oh my god. Do you know where you're streaming? Okay. I am playing... Well, I mean, I was playing Super Mario 3D World. And I've also been playing Star Trek Online, because new content came out. Call me whatever you want. I love the game. And eventually I'll go back to Batman. I literally played like the first 15 minutes and just haven't picked it up since.
Yeah, like I said, it's not as compelling as the other Batman. I don't know what it is. I think it's actual.
I feel like I'm going through the motions at this point.
Yeah, and it's not Batman fatigue. I think it's just Batman open world fatigue.
Yeah.
Where it's just kind of like, I kind of did all this shit already as Batman, which is a bummer.
Especially when you fight
Killer
Croc.
The story's really good.
Like, it's like, I did this. I fought him already. You know?
Mm.
Put another.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's just. I would have been okay with that, but it's like, oh, more Penguin, fucking great.
Yes, I'll get back to that eventually. All right, so that was episode 151, and by next week we will, I think after this Friday, the PS3 and Xbox 360 will be officially the past generation, and the current generation will be the Xbox One and PS4 officially after Friday.
Officially.
And yeah, like I said, I don't give a shit until 2015, so you can all play your games and enjoy them. All right then. And George, you're still wrong about this this Troy Baker thing, but it's all right. It's fine. I like you, so don't worry about it. Yeah, I don't know how to end this podcast.
I don't know. Troy Baker did that Batman monologue for you.
We should end it with our best Troy Baker impressions.
Oh hell no! Oh no! All right.
No, we should leave with our favorite Troy Baker character.
Favorite Troy Baker. I gotta go on Wikipedia for this shit. Hold on. Favorite Troy Baker character. Yeah, go ahead, Ryan.
I'll pick that random side character he played in that movie one time.
The random side character he played in that movie one time.
God. No, but seriously, Joel in The Last of Us.
Wait a minute, he was Robin in Arkham City? What? Yeah.
Look at that. Someone's tune changed.
Oh, shit. No, I told you I love Troy Baker. I just don't want him being nominated twice because it's fucking... No, stop it.
Stop hating.
I'm not hating, I swear.
Stop hating.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Acknowledge the man's talent.
I totally acknowledge his talent.
Let him get nominated twice.
I'm just not acknowledging his double nomination. Holy shit.
That seems more of an Academy issue.
No. It's the Advisory Council, sir. I don't know. I'm looking through his list right now, and I'm kind of partial to Joel. Yeah. He was Two-Face in Arkham City? Motherfucker. The best line in Arkham City was two guns, bitch. Oh man, that was so funny.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Alright, okay. Yeah, no, I'm just gonna go with Joel.
I'm gonna go with Troy Baker in Saints Row 4
as
singing Opposites Attract.
Oh yeah. Oh, actually no, I haven't gotten to that point yet. I'm thinking of Saints Row really 3rd. When you're singing
No,
in the beginning.
He does that again.
Oh, my
but
God.
You sing Opposites Attract.
Good lord.
And you also sing Biz Markie, Just a Friend. So my favorite Troy Baker character is Troy Baker singing Biz Markie or Opposites Attract in Saints Row.
Alright. And Ryan?
Joel in The Last of Us, I'd say. I did not know that he did the voice of Jake Muller in Resident Evil 6. Not that I'd pick that, but...
Ridiculous. Like, this guy's everywhere.
See, I think you're starting to feel bad that you're just ranting for like 20 minutes about him being nominated. The guy deserves to be nominated twice.
Look, he deserves to be nominated, but not twice. It doesn't take away from him as an actor. He can get nominated, but not twice. No. There's a lot of other performers out there people have done good. Look, I'm sorry, I can't do this again. I can't. We're gonna go on for another half an hour. I gotta cut this shit off.
I was literally just trying to troll you.
No, I'm like, I can't,
again.
I can't. My dog is looking at me. I gotta walk him. All right, we're gonna end this shotcast.
3 hours later,
I was joined by Ryan and George. That's your cue.
Goodbye,
gentlemen.
Bye.
Yeah,
oh, you've never done us both together. That's weird.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
You fucked up this ending, dude.
If you took that out of context, Jesus. And I'm David Rodriguez. Good night, everybody.
Good God.
The funny thing is, that's one of the best shotcasts we've done in a while. So.
When we don't know how to